Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, QST, QST. Calling all radio amateurs. This is KF4TEK, activating the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net. This net is held every Sunday at 8 p.m. local time on the 147.165 MHz W4V repeater in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website, w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for technical discussion and Q&A regarding technical topics such as equipment, hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and other similar information related to the radio art. If anyone has a question or discussion topic that they would like addressed this evening, please call now.
KF4TEK, this is KO4VNZ. Rich recommended that I ask you all to talk about any hints for building an offset attenuator. I got a kit that I'm going to assemble, and if there's anybody that has any input on mistakes to avoid or tips that would be handy in doing that, that could be a topic. Over.
Okay, KO4VNZ. Tips and tricks for assembling your offset attenuator. Okay, great question, great topic, and maybe we will go into a little bit what an offset attenuator is. So that's a great suggestion. Thank you. Anyone else have any topics or questions that they would like addressed this evening? Please call now. All righty. Does anyone have any news or announcements that they would like to share with the net this evening? News or announcements, please call now. All righty. We'll take a round of check-ins, and then I'll do a quick couple of bits, and then we'll go around and see how folks have been doing. Anyone who would like to join us this evening, please call now.
This 4 GV K4 Golf Victor Hotel K4 GV8 Robert will wait K4 GV8
W4RA 4 Whiskey Yankee X-ray in and out W4RKU.
This is K2PI. Kilowatt 3, Foxtrot Romeo.
This is KM4MLX, in and out.
AK4GG.
KM4SPL, no comment, listening in the background.
This is KQ4BCM, in and out.
N2NAR, in and out.
This is KO4, November Mike Charlie, Allen in Gainesville, no comment.
N7IBV, no comment tonight.
All right, let's hold it there. There were a couple doubles, and I got some of the folks, and I didn't get some of the other ones. So if I didn't get you, I won't read off your call, and you can call again, and hopefully we can fix it. I have KO4VNZ, K4GVH, W4RKU, K2PI, K3FR, AK4GG, KN4SPL, KQ4 Bravo, and I lost the backside of that. N2NAR, KO4NMC, and N7IVV, mostly without comment. If I did not call your call or I read your call incorrectly, please call again.
Here is Kilo Mike 4, Oscar Zulu Hotel.
X-ray, in and out.
KN4MLX, in and out.
KQ4BCM, in and out.
KM4OZH, I probably got stepped on again.
KN4QXD, in and out.
All right, I think I got some more. So, Gil, I did get you. You won that double. KM4OZH, I've got KN4QXD, KQ4 Bravo Charlie Mike is what I wrote down. If that's wrong, Well, tell me right now, KT4BCM, is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, thank you. And then Kilo November 4, I wrote down Mike Oscar Zulu, is that correct?
It's Kilo November Mike Lima X-ray.
Okay, KN4MLX, is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, I got there. Thank you for your patience. Anyone else that I didn't call or messed up, please call one last time. This is K4GVH, Robert in Riva. We'll wait.
KS1, PPY, no comment this round.
This is Delta 8, Quebec, Charlie November, no comment.
All right, we picked up KS1 PPY. Good to hear you, Sippy, and WD8QCN. Good to hear you, Steve. Great. Okay. Let me just get my ducks in a row here for 2 seconds. All right. So, thank you all for checking in. Just wanted to read off a couple of interesting upcoming radio sport events. The ARRLENE contest is coming up next weekend, and I don't think I have a way to listen to that, but it sure does sound interesting. Also, we have the Hawaii QSO party, so if those of you who are looking for Hawaii, that might be a good chance to hang out on the bands. Also, the WV Islands QSO party, Kansas and Ohio having QSO parties, so if you're looking for a QSO party this coming weekend, you're in good luck. So as far as our topic this evening, we had a question brought up about how to assemble an offset attenuator. I assembled that offset attenuator kit a couple of years ago, and I don't remember anything especially tricky about it. So I instead will offer just a handful of general kit assembly tips, hoping that that will cover it. And maybe what I'll do is when the first person takes a comment period, I'll go open mine up and look at it and remember if there was anything I thought was especially tricky. But some of you perhaps may be wondering what an offset attenuator is or how it works. So since this is a technical event, maybe it would be interesting to go over answers to those two questions as well. So this is KF4TEK for the FARA Sunday Night Technical Services Net. And an offset attenuator is a device that is often used during Fox Hens to lower the strength of the received signal so that you can get the signal strength into the working region of your S meter or other equipment so that you can determine a direction. When you're very far away, the signal probably does not overwhelm your receiver, and you can use a number of techniques, including directional antennas or body shielding, to try to figure out where the signal is coming from by watching the strength of the S meter as you manipulate those geometries or listen to the noise come and go on the signal. But once you get really close, that doesn't work anymore because the signal is full quieting no matter what you do, and sometimes even once you take off the antenna. So what the offset attenuator does is it shifts the signal that you are tracing to another frequency with an adjustable level mixer so that you can control the amount of signal that is presented to your radio and therefore control the level of the signal so that it's right where your meter can respond to it. So it's called an offset attenuator because you aren't listening to the signal you're tracing anymore. You're listening to a mixing product of that signal and a local oscillator. So let's review mixers real quick. Most of you should be familiar with the word superheterodyne or heterodyne, and this is the name of a principle that our FM receivers use, many of our receivers use actually, regardless of mode, that involves mixing two radio signals together in a non-linear electrical device, usually a diode or assembly arrangement of diodes. And what happens when you do that is you get a couple of things out of the mixer. So two things go in and two things come out. So the first thing that comes into the mixer is the signal over the air that you intend to receive. And the second thing that comes into the mixer is the frequency from a local oscillator. So you have two frequencies coming into the mixer. And then what comes out of the mixer are the sum and the difference of those two frequencies. So if you are tracing a Fox on 146 megahertz and you feed that signal into a mixer and you have a local oscillator with a frequency of 4 megahertz, then what comes out of the mixer are two frequencies, the signal at 150, which is 146 plus 4, and the signal at 142, which is 146 minus 4. And the modulation of the signals will be preserved, so the signal of the Fox will be made available to your receiver at 150 megahertz and also 142 megahertz. And this is exactly what the offset attenuator does. It has a local oscillator in it. The local oscillator frequency is 4 megahertz, at least it is in mine. And there's a knob on the front of the device that allows you to adjust the level of the local oscillator, and that in turn will adjust the strength of the signal mixing product that makes it out the antenna jack. So in that way, you can control the strength of the signal reaching your repeater, and the, as we said, the modulation on the input signals is preserved, but the local oscillator has no modulation on it, ideally, nearly no modulation, and so all you hear is the modulation on the original Fox frequency. So those of you who have offset attenuators know that you can tune, you know, 4 megahertz up or down from the Fox frequency to hear that, and that comes in handy when there's interference on one of those frequencies, because if you listen on the high side, you are up in the business band, and there's usually a lot of shmoo up there and interference. At least that was my experience. So the offset attenuator is a great kit for people interested in radio direction finding, because it gives them a good tool for close-in work. Once that signal gets really strong, you need to knock it down to use your direction finding techniques. With most electronic kits, I recommend a smallish soldering iron. You know, 25 watts is plenty. If you have a temperature-controlled iron, then that's brilliant. Those work great. I have a Hakko. I forget the number, but it's an old analog dial, and it's worked great for many years, and any of those will work fine. Don't use a heavy-duty 100-watt solder gun on your electronic kit. It's too much. Do not use acid core solder. If you want rosin core solder, and you are welcome to try to use lead-free solder, it is, in my opinion, more difficult to work with. It has a higher melting point and doesn't clean quite as well. I think you can still get leaded rosin core solder on the internet. And you want to wash your hands and not breathe the fumes, but it is definitely easier to work with. What I like to do when putting a kit like that together is I like to put the small components in first. So if you have little 8-watt resistors or quarter-watt resistors, you know, put them in, bend the leads out a little bit so they don't fall out, and, you know, put in 4 or 5 of them, and then turn the board over and solder those in place. If you want to, you know, tack one leg in, you can then push that component up against the board and heat that joint up a little bit again, and it'll snick right up against the board and get them all nice and neat that way. I like to put my resistors in so that I can read all the color codes in one direction, but, you know, your mileage may vary. So the idea there is to put your components in an order that will allow you to get them all in without having to fight any existing mounted components when you put later components in. And the directions, I believe, in that kit were pretty good. You guided you how to do that. So I think, you know, the last things you put on are like the potentiometer and the BNC jacks. You will need quite a bit of heat, quite a bit more heat for the BNC jacks just because of the volume of metal. So make sure your tip is nice and clean and keep the largest flat you have up against that part of the board. And sometimes I cheat a little bit, and I just kiss the solder up against the tip when it's heating the joint. Just a little bit of solder there increases the heat conduction between the iron and the joint tremendously, and that allows it to heat up much quicker, and that can help on larger pieces. The only other thing I remember about that is that I think I remember hearing a couple of folks say that it was hard to know which way to put the LED in. So if you finish your kit and turn it on and the LED doesn't light, it's possible you put it in backwards. There's generally two ways to determine the polarity of an LED. One lead should be longer than the other, but if they're both the same length, then one side of the base of the LED should have a little flap on it. And those two methods will help you identify the polarity of the LED. I don't remember which is which, but, you know, a quick trip to Google or your favorite search engine will reveal that to you. And if you're wondering whether or not your attenuator is working, you can always tune any nearby HF rig to 4 megahertz and turn it on and see if there's a signal there. So does anyone else who has built an offset attenuator kit have anything that they would like to add to that discussion? Please call now.
AK4GG.
7IBB.
Oh, this is excellent. I got two contributors. Fantastic. We'll take them in the order they called. John, AK4GG, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Roger, Mike. Excellent explanation, I would say. Just a couple of things. The flat is the cathode of the LED. Not sure about which one's longer. I tend to set them off before I notice. It might pay to actually put the crystal in and the potentiometer in, just to make sure that you've got enough room on the board for wherever you're putting the other components, just to make sure that they're not going to knock up against those two. The crystal's normally got one of those flats around the edges of it, so sometimes that can get into the space where you're going to put the resistor. Also, the crystal, be careful with it, so it's kind of fragile. Just make sure that you treat it carefully and don't over-solder it, don't put too much heat on it, and don't bang it around. It's mechanically a little bit touchy. I'll also point out that you're going to get a lot more mixing products than just F1 minus F2 and F1 plus F2. You're going to have a whole string of products out there. You can choose any one. And you'll also get the original signal too. That'll probably come through in your example, the 146. You're not going to get rid of that either. Anyway, that's enough for me. Back to the group KF4TEK, AK4GG.
All right, excellent tips. Thank you for that. And Brad, N7IVV, go ahead.
Hey, Mike, N7IVV. I swear, I've never heard anybody give a description on soldering that was absolutely word for word to the way that I do it also. I don't know if we learned from the same book or what, but I mean, just absolutely everything you said, I could have been doing that presentation myself. I was just sort of open-mouthed at that, so I don't know whether to say kudos or I should pat myself on the back for doing it the right way that you do. Anyway, as far as LEDs go, a little trick that I ran across here a while back that sort of on the surface would fly in the face of what you do with LEDs, because usually you put an LED on a battery without a resistor in it and it immediately blows it out. But if you take a little coin battery, like a, 2032 or whatever those numbers are, you know, like a 1.5 or even a 3-volt coin battery, that apparently does not put out enough current to damage the LED. And so what you do is you simply slide the thing in between the two contacts, and if it goes on, then you see which the polarity is. And if it doesn't, you flip the battery over the other way, The long lead is usually, I have found, is the positive lead, which I guess is the cathode. See, I can never remember cathode and anode, plus and minus. Besides that, the board is marked plus. So, anyway, that's a little trick that I learned that is just invaluable. And it doesn't damage the LED. Back to you on 7IBB.
Plus is anode.
Go ahead, John.
It's just plus is the anode.
All right, awesome. Thank you, guys, and thanks for the kind words. I flipped over, I opened my attenuator, and the last piece of advice I'll give to you is make sure that you put the power switch, the potentiometer, and the LED on the correct side of the board. There are components on two sides of this board, and most of them are on what I usually consider the component side of the board, but some of them go on the other side of the board. So just pay special attention to the directions about which side of the board the different components go on. All right. Great discussion. Thank you, guys. And we will start at the top of our list and spin it around. This is KO4TEK for the Friday Sunday Night Technical Service Net, and we'll start off with our questioner, KO4VNZ. How are you doing?
KO4TEK, this is KO4VNZ, Chuck in Opal. Thanks for taking the net, and thanks a lot, Brad, Mike, and John. All of that was great information. Yeah, I just got the kit. Reading through it, though, I found that it isn't all-inclusive, so I still have to get things like get a container for it, some kind of box. I saw some examples where people just used like an access box for PVC so that they would be right on their antenna. Other people will build it in a plastic box or a metal box, so I'm still deciding on that. It'll be interesting for me. I've built a lot of things. Model railroader. In the military, I built a lot of things. In high school, some 50-plus years ago, I built the HeathKit O-scope. So my only concern now is that as old as I've gotten, my hands really tremble a lot, and so I'm worried if I'll be able to solder the way I used to. But anyway, your presentation was just great, and I loved it. So looking forward to getting this soldered together and having it ready for the next Fox Hunt, which I think is September 17th. I'm just going from my faulty memory, but I think that's right. Anyway, thanks for all the information. This is KO4VNZ, back to net.
All right, super. Thanks for joining us, and good luck. Up next, Robert, K4GVH. How are you doing tonight?
This is K4 Golf Victor Hotel, K4GVH. Be doing a lot better since Mark was able to fix my Kenwood TS4 $50. I'll be getting that back not this week, but the following week, hopefully. And good to hear everyone on the Farinet, and waited patiently, so that's what I had to do. So I know you hadn't forgotten me, but I know you had a big list. But you're doing a great job. I don't know where you're located, but you're really sounding good into the repeater this afternoon, and good evening to everyone on the repeater, and good evening to Rich as well. And good to hear everyone. This is K4 Golf, Victor Hotel, and good evening to the other guy there who's going to pick me up one day and bring me to the club meeting. I can't think of his name. But good evening to him as well. There, good evening to Chuck. And y'all doing a great job. This is K4 Golf Victor Hotel, K4GVH, and back to net control, 73.
Okay, Robert. Well, thanks for that, and thanks for stopping by. We are up to Kevin, W4RKU. How are you doing tonight?
K4TK, W4RKU. Good evening, Mike. Thanks for doing the net tonight. I'm going to chime in with you and Brad on the proper way of soldering. I learned back in high school, my electronics one class, we spent a couple of days on the proper way to solder and how you have to use the solder as a mechanical bond, how to do wrap your wires, you know, the proper way to do this, and coal, yeah. So, and that's been very useful, but I can't really do it anymore, and good luck, Chuck, because the reason I can't do it very well myself anymore is I have the same problem with tremors now, and I cannot. It's embarrassing to see me try to solder two wires together, and that's about all I can do. But, and just back on the LED thing, don't depend on the flat side part of it. Go by the length of the wire length, because half the LEDs, especially the smaller ones, I can't tell which side is the flat side, because it's just so, it's not very distinct. Other than that, I haven't done a whole lot of radio stuff. Conditions haven't been super great. One, Wednesday, I was hearing yelling noises on the band. Things were so screwed up. But, and I had other things going on this weekend. So, that's all I have for tonight. KF4DK, W4RKU, that's the name.
All right, Kevin. Well, thanks for stopping by, and thanks for those comments. Yeah, I'm just working my way up from the bottom of the band here on WACTX, and it does look pretty noisy out there, but now we do what we can do. All right, Harv, K2PI, long time no hear. Hope you're doing well. How are you doing tonight?
Yeah, good evening, KF4TEK and Lynette from K2PI. I'm doing fine, thanks, and Mike, great to hear your exposition on the offset attenuator and soldering, so... very good stuff. I'm sure it benefited a lot of people. And actually, I had never really heard of an offset attenuator. I've got multiple step attenuators here that I've used for various things, including reducing my output power to very, very low levels, like 5 milliwatts to test whisper and a couple of other kind of unique transmission modes. But never seen an offset attenuator, so it's an interesting thing I'll have to read up about a little bit. This week in the radio, I guess, this weekend I operated a little bit, in the SSB, NAQP, the North America QSO party. I wasn't burning up the bands for sure. The bands were pretty poor, and I used QRP only, so, I was really challenging myself, but I had some fun doing that and, enjoyed it. Back to net, good hearing everybody, KF4TEK and the net from K2PI.
All right, thank you, Harv. Always good to hear you, and glad you might have learned something new tonight. All right, up to John, AK4GG, how you doing?
Good, thanks, Mike. Hello to everybody in the group. Don't want to hold it too long, chatted enough as it is. Just want to point out the Vint Hill Farms will be having an anniversary on October the 1st and 2nd. We'll be there. Representing the club. I just wanted to put out a call, general call for operators and people to help out with that. Probably run 8 o'clock in the morning to about 5 o'clock at night. And we'll be up at Vint Hill Farms here on October the 1st and 2nd. More details to follow. Anyway, back to the group, KF4TEK, KF4TEK, AK4GG.
All right, great. Thanks for the reminder about that event coming up. Glad you're able to support it. And as the event draws near, don't be shy and remind us every net that it's coming up. I think I might have jumped over K3FR. I know we had a bunch of in and outs that I might not have notated properly, so my apologies if I skip you and you didn't mean to be in and out. Well, let's try Ron, K3FR. How you doing tonight?
Oh, good evening, KM, or K... KF4TEK, K3FR. Boy, I don't know. I have done that so many times, Mike. I apologize. Maybe it's just because your first name is Mike. I want to think of calling you KM4. Anyway, yes. Well, I'm just getting started in the fox hunting thing. So I have, since all I used last time was just body shielding and... good luck.
that I'm going to supplant that this time with a with an antenna. I'm in the process of building a small Moxon out of PVC and my heavy bus bar, and we'll see how that goes. I want to see what kind of a null I can get off the back. That's what I'm more interested in rather than being super successful in finding the fox. But yes, thank you for the explanation of the offset attenuator. Good discussion on it there. And no, I haven't tried one. I do know that if you're going to build your own step attenuators, as Harp was commenting there, you do need to maintain very, very good shielding between the different stages of it, since they're usually just serially attached PI or T networks that reduce the signal level by flipping them in and out parallel in the switch. And so your switches also need to be fairly low transmission as well. Aside from that, I haven't had very much activity on the vans. Six hasn't been very interesting. A bit of morning tropo on 2 meters. So most of my time has been spent running around in the car. I did drive up to the Woodstock Tower in I guess that's Page County up there, and found out that I couldn't hit any repeaters from the tower, and couldn't race anybody at the middle of the afternoon, which is probably about normal for that location. At least with handy talkie. But we're just getting things on, keeping going, and enjoying life as it comes to me.
Missed it by just 15 seconds, Ron.
Okay, didn't have very much to say. What did you get?
Everything except the last 15 seconds.
Okay, that was mostly just a turnover. As I said, wasn't very successful working anyone from the top of the Woodstock Tower, observation tower, via two meters with a handy talkie. No repeaters to bring up, and no simplex contacts. Back over to my K3FR.
All right, very good. Well, thanks for all that, Ron, and looking forward to chatting with you again on Wednesday. All right, I don't remember if Gil, KM4OZH, was in and out or not, so I'm going to give him a shot here. Gil, KM4OZH, how you doing today?
KM4TEK, this is KM4OZH. Good evening, Mike, and everybody on the net. Well, let's see here. Offset attenuator. You know, back, well, I guess it was 2 years ago when there was talk of fox hunts and so forth. I said, well, I'll get right in here in the Radio Amateur's Handbook. I don't know, it was a 90s edition or something or other. And they had an offset attenuator in there. What is it? I think it was 5 kilohertz offset. And anyway, so I said, okay, well, I need a transistor. So I ordered off of internet somewhere, 5, whatever the transistor number was, for $2 or something, or big money, and proceeded to build that thing. And fox hunts are coming up, and it didn't work. And so I got annoyed, so I ordered the kit, and then assembled the kit. And, of course, once again, LED polarity raised its ugly head. But because there was no discernible length difference in leads and no flat spot, and so, you know, so I had to run a quick test on that to figure out where. But that was the only real holdup on that thing. But then I got that to working, and I said, well, let me go back here on this homemade one, and because I like homemade, and see what's wrong with this. So I switched out to another one of the group of transistors that I work, so, and it came to life. So now I have 2 offset attenuators, and of course, I can't ever be free on a Saturday for the
pair of fox hoods, so and all that stuff's untested, although I did finally, at the OVH field day this year, they had a small fox hunt, just all foot fox hunt, which I won. So there you go. So at least it worked, and seemed to work to my satisfaction. And I've just been working on a couple of tower projects here for neighbors here. Repairing one. I'm grabbing nickel. One is doing some tower repairs, and the other is building a new fold-over aluminum tower. So got all these projects going. So that's about it. Haven't worked the radio to speak of. So KM4OZH, back in that control.
All right, Gil, fine business. Well, I'm glad you got your scratch-build attenuator to work. You'll have to bring it to a meeting sometime and show us all how it goes. 5 kilohertz is not a lot of offset for an FM signal, so I'll be curious to see how well that works on an FM Fox. Okay, this is KF4TEK for the FARA Sunday Night Technical Service Net, and that is the bottom of my list of folks who had something to say. I'll make one quick call for new checks or rechecks. If you'd like to join us, if you've got something to say, please call now.
AG4VA.
KS1PPY recheck. All right, AG4VA and KS1PPY. Alan, why don't you lead us off? How are you doing tonight?
Well, good evening, Mike. Good evening to everyone on the net. This is AG4VA. I've been inside most of the day. It's pouring down raining here in Ivy most of the day, at least most of the morning, reading a book and sitting inside watching the grass grow outside, which will need to be cut again as soon as the sun comes out. Well, last Sunday, got up early and drove over to West Virginia to the Cass Scenic Railroad State Park and met a friend in AKEP and his wife and their dog, and we loaded up in their truck and drove up the mountain, didn't get on the railroad, drove up the mountain in the truck and stopped at a gate not too far from the summit and rode our mountain bikes in to do a Summits on the Air activation up on Bald Knob. And that's where the Cass Scenic Railroad stops, not too far from the summit. We could have ridden the train up, but we opted for the bikes because we didn't know how long we'd be on summit, and did a nice Summits on the Air activation up there. I didn't research the summit before I went up there as far as to what's on it. I was surprised. There's a cabin up there. There's some pens where you keep your horses overnight, and a fire tower, and a rare amenity on summit called a picnic table, which we make great use of. So you could actually go up there, you could rent horses and ride horses up to that summit and stay in the cabin overnight, or you could ride the train up or hike or mountain bike in the way we did. So pretty cool summit over in West Virginia if anybody ever wants to get away and have a nice adventure. And the steam engine was put into service when they were logging the summit back in the early part of the last century. So check it out if you get a chance. Good to be in here with you. Sorry I got in late. I missed most of the net. Had a lot of things going on today. Back to net, AG4VA.
All right, Alan. Well, thanks for that story. That sounds really awesome. Glad you were able to get out and do that. KS1PPY, go ahead.
Hey, Mike, I just wanted to thank you for doing the nets and keeping us on track and keeping things going. Also, thank Brad for his efforts with that. And I should have put this in the announcements, but I've been in and out of nets and busy for the last little while, and I apologize for that. I do have a list of people who have offered to pick up various nets and a few that have requested access to the calendar to get in there to help out for net control. This next week I'll be working on getting people added to that schedule and hopefully get that schedule out where everybody can see it so everybody knows who's going to take what nets, what nights, and I promise I will get around to it. But we always need net controllers, so if anybody else wants to step up, just send us out an email and we'll get you on there eventually as I have time. And I sure appreciate everything that you guys do to keep these nets up and running. And that's really all I got for tonight. KS1 PPY, back to net. All right, Tibby. Well, thank you very much for that, and thanks for all the work you do coordinating all of these cats, and hope that, you know, your busyness tails off a little bit, but not too much for you. So it is 8:45, so I'm going to make this my last and say that this is KF4TEK for the Farnet. I would like to thank everyone who joined us this evening and remind you that if you would like further information about tonight's discussion or information on FARA, to please see our website at w4va.org, or you can send an email to faranet@w4va.org. This is KF4TEK, closing the net and returning your Peterson normal amateur use. Thank you all and have a good evening.